This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus, getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, by way of telephone, is Henry Wright. And I'm talking to him about his book In More Excellent Way, which is a teaching on the spiritual roots of disease. And most people don't even have a clue about this. Henry, I'll tell you something that's coming to mind right now. I know a Jewish believer in the Messiah who graduated from what was called a Word of Faith, or, well, I'll mention Rhema Bible College, a fine Bible college, and she would go around saying, I'm coming down with divine health. And I understood what she was saying, and I agreed with what she was saying. And she would say this all the time and believe it, and yet she died of many diseases a little before her time. Now, we can't talk about her specifically, but is it enough to go around saying, I'm coming down with divine health in the name of Jesus and be healed?
Well, that brings us up to a very difficult theological question. First of all, it's not confession alone that produces help, even though confession is a form of meditation on what God has said. When you go back to disease prevention in Deuteronomy chapter 7, beginning in verse 11 through 15 in the Torah, here's what God said through Moses, that if you're a doer of the word, and you practice the principles that I've taught you, then I'll put none of these diseases, these evil diseases of Egypt upon you, but will put them upon those that hate you. And the key issue is this. It's not confession, even though to know the truth shall make you free.
Well, in Joshua, God said, if you'll meditate on my word, and saying God's word causes you to believe it.
I know, but let's talk about some theology. Today, in the name of Yeshua, we say we do things. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that shall I do, and that shall the Father do. And we're going around with confession and using the name of Yeshua to, like, guarantee something's going to happen. Except we've got a problem. We can't take Scripture out of context. You can't take promises out of context without responsibility. Because in Psalm 138, verse 2, part B, it says this, He exalts His word even above his name. And so we can confess all we want, but if we're participating with sin in our life, then confession, you know, listen, obedience is still better than sacrifice. You can give the sacrifice of praise, you can give the sacrifice of confession and meditation, but obedience to God's word is first principle. Repentance and dead works is first principle.
Give me some examples of some sins that people need to repent of before they're going to get their healing.
Well, I will say this to you from 1 John chapter 5, and I hope the audience is ready for this one. It says that if a man see his brother sin a sin unto death, he shall not pray for him. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin that is not unto death. Now, that brings up a big conversation. In over 50 or 60 major incurable diseases that I deal with, ministering prayer, the gifts, the anointing with oil, prayer of faith, whatever you want to, is a waste of time because that disease is unto death because they have committed a sin that's unto death. Now, I am told I shall not pray for them. Well, what do? Well, I bring back to 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, what sins are sins that are unto death? You've not asked me this specifically, but I'm about to tell you.
Well, I sure was thinking it. I was waiting for you to come up for air, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Most Christians don't want to think this way. Most believers don't want to think about responsibility for sin. They don't want to go here. So I'm in rough territory, so you pray for me. Because if somebody comes to me with...
Listen, we need some answers.
Well, these are...
Go for it.
And the answers are found in God's Word. And if somebody comes to me with over 60 major incurable diseases, I know those diseases are unto death because they have participated with a sin that's unto death, and I shall not pray for them. But what I can do is disciple them, bring them to a place of recognition, to bring them to repentance, so that what Yeshua paid for us at the cross will now work for them. And key sins that are sins unto death, number one is unforgiveness. How do I know that? Because it says in Mark 11, 25 and 26 in the King James Version, it says this, if you from your heart do not forgive your brother his trespass, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you yours. If I can show a person that behind this major incurable disease is a sin issue that needs to be repented for, but if they have unforgiveness in their heart towards any person, living or dead, then I've got a problem. I want God to forgive them. But God has said, I'll forgive you in relationship to how you forgive others. Because we're asking God to have mercy on us, but we're not showing mercy to our brother. This is a sin unto death because God intends for us to be a forgiving people.
Okay, we know about that. But so in case someone needs a clarification, there are sins unto death, but if someone repents, they will not be unto death. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying, if we meet the conditions of how God has told us to deal with our lives, and we're become doers of the word again. See, back in the Torah, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it's so very clear. If you will be a doer of the word, all these blessings shall come upon you.
But Henry, there are so many Christians that are mature enough to know about the unforgiveness issue, but they're still in their diseases. What are some of the other bases that have to be touched?
Well, they may know righteousness, Sid, but are they really practicing it?
You mean if they say, I've forgiven someone, but they any chance they have a chance to slam that person, they really have just deceived themselves?
Well, conversion is of the heart, not of the intellect.
Whoa. You're getting deep on me now.
You know, I can give mental assent to what God said, but it doesn't mean that I have a true heart conversion. And there are blocks to healing. In the book, The More Excellent Way, there's not only roots to disease listed, but there's 33 blocks to healing that have to be recognized. I suppose what I'm saying is that do we really know how God thinks? Because how God thinks is the best that we could be in our own thought process. That's called having the mind of Christ.
But wait a second, I have to go back to unforgiveness, forget the other 32. But you're saying that someone could intellectually forgive but not forgive in their heart. Well, what if they're deceived and they think they have forgiven and they haven't? Is that why a lot of people die that should not?
Well, I have a litmus test. I ask a person who I believe, they say, well, I've forgiven them, but I see the disease is still in their life. And I say, well, when you think about that person or see their face in your mind's heart, or I use their name, do you have a feeling on the inside of you that's still there that rises up when the minute I use their name? And if they say yes, they've not forgiven from the heart.
You think that's a... I'm going to do it right now. You think that's a salvation issue? Forget this life.
Well...
I set you up.
It's a salvation issue. There's two sides to this. You don't have to be sinless to attain heaven, as you know. It's still by faith. But what is in our lives here, you see, that's what it says in Isaiah chapter 5. It says, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And hell hath enlarged herself and opened up her mouth with about measure and has swallowed their great and famous up into it. And that's addressed to covenant people. So the issue is this, is that I don't think they've lost their salvation. I don't think it's a salvation issue. I think that salvation is more than being born again, and most Christians don't understand that.
My goodness, we just keep opening one can of worms after another. But let's go back to something we can deal with. I want to deal with unforgiveness. Someone that says, I know God says I should forgive, therefore I have intellectually forgiven that person. When I think a bad thought, I'll even pray for them. But I know that I have these bad thoughts. How do I get rid of it? I mean, I do want to forgive them. How do I get rid of it, Henry?
Well, first of all, people don't understand that what was in the other person that victimized them wasn't even them. Paul taught us that in Romans chapter 7 very clearly. And our fallacy in forgiveness is this, is that we've made the person sin. Now, the person may have sin, but they're not sin. And we've made the person evil, along with the evil that they did to us. So when God saved me, I had lots of stuff in me that wasn't right. I was a sinner. And God saw past my sin and saw Henry and wanted him. We must have that heart in forgiveness, that we don't judge people according to their sins, but we judge them according to what God saw in them from the foundation of the world. But many people stumble over people's failures. Well, if God stumbled over my failures, he would have rejected me. But aren't we supposed to think like God in this area? So, in people that need to forgive, you have a right to hate sin. You even have a right to hate the sin in the person. But we do not have the right to hate the person, and that's the big issue.
Hmm. Cancer. Give me an example of someone that was healed in the cause.
Cancer, of course, on It's Supernatural, your show, the lady with the face cancer, when she dealt with self-hatred.
But many people have not heard that testimony. You could say that again.
I could say it again when she came to our For My Life program, and she had cancer of the face. And when she repented for participating with the sin of self-hatred sincerely from her heart and saw that it had lied to her all these years and she'd become one with it in her spirituality and her psychology and the disease was the fruit of it, when she repented in that very day, the cancer fell off her face onto the floor. And today she's well. Other people with cancer, we've dealt with cancer of the uterus, ovarian cancer, where a person hated their femininity. They hated being a female. Maybe their daddy said, I wish I had a boy. Maybe whatever. When they made their peace that they were female, male and female created he them. When they finally make themselves, their peace for themselves about their femininity, God is right there to restore to them the cleanness and health of those areas. Brain tumors, fibroid tumors are rooted in bitterness and self-bitterness. And so the big issue is this, is that when we have bitterness, for example, our body creates toxins. Those toxins destroy the immune sentries of our cells, allowing cancer to get a foothold anytime we want. Not only that, because most anxiety disorders that I deal with are rooted in fear, 1 John 4:18 says there's no fear in love. So you've not been loved perfectly. There's a type of fear that comes. And that releases a destruction of the immune system, and thereby you become what's called cancer-prone.
Hold that thought. Ms. Bucha, we're out of time again, but you want a great deal of this man's teaching. That's why we're making available his book, A More Excellent Way, a teaching on the spiritual roots of disease. We're asking for a donation of $25 or more, A More Excellent Way. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Halitzi, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.
trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come. For the trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountains. For the trumpet in Zion.